This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is sponsored by Dipsy, Native, and The Salon.
This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, then you can click the YouTube link in the show notes and gaze along as we talk our shit in our head wraps and our workout t-shirts. Inner Ho Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist ho who lives in New York City. And my pronouns are she and her. Who are you?
Who am I? I am Rodeca, a fat, black, non-monogamous, existentialist femme whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here. Pronouns are she and her. Yes.
Nice. All right. So on every episode of the Inner Ho Uprising, myself and my lovely rotating co-host talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dives on episode topics of our choice. This episode, we're talking about the most magical of all dykes, sex tourism in Africa. Hashtag winter is coming and how to prepare for it, moving in with a partner, and abuse in the era of Ebola, and a lot more.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you could do so by using the hashtag Inner Ho Uprising so we can see it, and the hashtag Pod In so other people can see it. And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Ho Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inner Ho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group by searching Inner Ho Uprising, C-U-M-M-U-N-I-T-Y. Head to innerhouprising.com to sign up for weekly goodies via our newsletter, Pay a Ho, or to check out our merchandise.
Yes, yes, y'all. And it don't stop to the beat, y'all. And it don't stop. Hey. And if you want to pay us to speak virtually at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, podcasting, or other kinds of topics we discuss on this show, or to have us host a consent, pleasure, or dating virtual workshop for your organization, we would love to. So to book us, you can send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com.
Yay, yay.
Yes. Now we're going into our segment that we call Ho of the Week. Ho of the Week is where we shout out our homies who have supported Inner Ho Uprising in the past week. Hoes of the Week get special nicknames, and the game, if they choose to participate, is to guess the meaning behind their nicknames. This week we have Martin, who capitalized art in Martin. And Martin,
it writes itself.
That's your fucking nickname. Yeah. Thank you for doing that. Martin became a patron on Patreon. We got Dabia Al-N, whose nickname is Look at My Dab. Look at my dab, son. Dabia, aka Look at My Dab, became a patron on Patreon. And it was a hefty ass Patreon donation. So thank you very much. Thank you very much to all of you, but thank you very much to Dabby over there. We got Eva B, whose nickname is Top Model Diva, but my name not Eva, who became a patron on Patreon. We got Onyx Mommy, whose nickname is Onyx Mommy. Thank you for that. Who edited their pledge but stuck around on Patreon. Thank you so much. We love when you guys do that. We got Zari, aka Za, who became a patron on Patreon. We got Shameless Curves M, that is your nickname, and I think it's very fitting. And you became a patron on Patreon. Thank you so much. Then we have some Apple Podcast reviewers. So we got Ayana, whose nickname is May You Tell Her I Say Hi, which is from a very specific joke in my life that nobody gets, but wow. I think it's funny. So that's your nickname now. And Ayana writes, fave podcast, 5 stars. I've been listening to this podcast for a good 3 years and have listened to its early pods. 10 out of 10, you feel me? Ooh. Doesn't disappoint. Very well researched topics and the best guests. Y'all helped a girl decompress during rough times. You're welcome.
Aww.
Thank you. Thank you, May You Tell Her I Say Hi. And last but not least, we have another review from Lana Love 122, who writes, absolutely amazing, 5 stars. There's no other sex podcast like this one. You hear that?
We are unique up in this bitch.
That's a motherfucking fact. No other sex podcast like this here one.
That's a fact.
Yes, it's very true. If you would like to be a hoe of the week or get a cool nickname of your own, here are some things you can do. You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you can rate podcasts. You can feature us in an article you've written. You can shout us out on social media. These are some non-monetary ways that you can support us. We love monetary and non-monetary support, and we understand that in these uncertain times, monetary support is not feasible for so many folks. It just gets worse every day. Honestly. Stimulus check? Nope. I'm just cutting off negotiations. We live in a society, hashtag. But anyway, if you are one of the few people who does have extra dollars to spend, if you do not have extra dollars to spend, don't you dare fucking even think about spending it on us. But if you do have money in abundance or energy in abundance to do any of these things, we would definitely appreciate you throwing some change or good vibes our way. When it comes to change, you can donate to us on PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho. You can go on Patreon by going to patreon.com/innerhouprising and donate to us there. Or you can purchase the last t-shirt left. Otherwise, I'm going to see a fucking cat walking down the street and then there's going to be a cat in an innerho uprising shirt for no reason. And then Pete is going to be like, why did you do this? And I'm going to be like, you're racist. Fuck you. Fight me. I gave the cat clothes. It's cold outside. Anyway, the links to all of those things are in the show notes. Also, a reminder that if you do become a patron on Patreon for $2 a month, you can participate in things like our Slack chat, our patron-only film nights that are horror film nights for the month of October. Check your Patreon if you're on Patreon for those dates that are coming up. And for $5 a month, you can join our Monday night Zoom hangouts. At any Patreon tier, you can receive access to our episodes a few days early and entry to our workshops and parties. Reminder, yes, we are doing horror film watch parties for the month of October, so get on there. We like to take our Ho of the Week time to shout out some other folks in our community, in our podcast sphere. So I want to take this time to shout out the homies of Enter the Minds podcast. Last week, that is yours truly, that is Sam, was a guest on there talking to Boris and Marcus. I was on their episode, Freak Like Me. We spoke about sexuality, gender, polyamory, kink, ethical non-monogamy, and much, much more. I get into some of my origin stories on there. I give some thoughts on why I identify the ways that I identify. We also speak about homophobia and group sex, J.K. Rowling and her important books, but trash politics and weaponizing butt play. We talked about a lot of stuff. There's a lot more that we talked about. I was about
to say, this sounds intense.
It was a fun conversation. You can listen to that by following the link in our show notes or by searching Enter the Minds. That's the as in T-H-A. It stands for, it's a whole acronym. Wherever you listen to podcasts and by clicking the episode Freak Like Me, because I'm going to be a freak all through the day, all to the dawn. And we could blow, blow all through the night to the early morn. Love how they named it that. It's one of my favorite songs. Yeah. You can also listen to Akua's episode on Enter the Minds, which is called Slippin', as in I'm slipping, I'm falling, and I can't get up.
Yes.
Shout out to DMX. All of their episodes are song titles. Fun fact. But yeah, you can find those links in the show notes. Now I'm going to turn on my best phone sex operator voice. All right, let me try to get in the zone. Do you have a lot on your mind? In times of stress or anxiety, it can be hard to remember to take the time to focus on yourself. But your joy and your pleasure are so important, especially right now. Put your well-being first with Dipsy. Whose voice is that? It's just like it's a 90s.
It's something in you.
It's the 90s 900 numbers. Yeah. Like, because who is that? I've never met this person.
It's the 4 a.m. call, like Adult Swim infomercial.
Hot
you wake
girls
up to.
For yeah. fun. Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories and guided sessions that are designed to turn you on and help you get in touch with yourself. The stories are relatable and immersive, so you'll feel like you're right there. And there's something for everyone, whoever or whatever you're into. They add new content every week, so there's always more to explore. Find stories about a spontaneous hookup with a hot stranger, getting closer to that sexy yoga instructor you can't stop thinking about, or even stories about that new toy together or getting tied up. The wellness sessions can also help you unlock new confidence or heighten intimacy with your partner. They add new stories every week so you never get bored. So spice things up today with Dipsy. And for listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering a 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/IHU. That's a 30-day free trial when you go to D-I-P-S-E-A stories.com/I as in inner, H as in ho, and U as in uprising. DipsyStories.com/IHU.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie. I had to like look away because I was like, this is Sam. What the fuck? This is confusing.
Yo, it's me back, niggas, in my regular motherfucking voice.
That's exactly what I need. I need you to cut it up.
Who the fuck was that bitch? Not me.
Never met her. I don't wanna.
Me just using another voice that's not mine. I'm just uncomfortable in myself.
Nothing is real. That's all it is. You're just reminding us that you're like, I could be anyone I want, but none of these are the real Sam.
I've been an advanced AI this whole time. Rebecca's never met me in her whole life because I don't exist.
Right now, yo.
In the traditional sense, I don't exist. Damn. I am merely code.
I'm scared. And that is what I am. Jeez.
All right, let's get into a different fucking segment. Now we're going to get into a segment that we call Self-Care Tip of the Week. That is a segment where we give you some tips on how to care for yourself because you are worthy. So this self-care tip of the week is inspired by the great words of the great Eddard Stark, a.k.a. Ned Stark. Rest in peace to a real motherfucking nigga. Winter is coming, y'all. And not in the fun for play way. It's not like winter is orgasming or anything like that. It's just arriving. Yeah, it's just being present at a certain point in time. So if you are in the U.S. or some other city that gets cold in the later half of the year, you're probably looking at a second wave of COVID-19, as well as the shutdowns that come with it. And what could be a winter of isolation on the horizon. So this self-care tip is some reminders to get your gears going on how to prep for winter in ways that make things healthier, or that might make things healthier, more comfortable, and within better spirits than if you didn't prep, for example. So not saying like it's going to make COVID go away or I have the vaccine or anything like
that. If we had that or any way that we could do that, I promise that would be...
top priority.
We wouldn't even talk about anything else. We'd be like, yo, guys, we got some tips and we need to share. But we don't.
Yeah. We do not have that. We simply have some advice on how to make things a little bit more bearable, right? So I broke these down into some different categories. The first, I want to start with acceptance. I would say, first and foremost, maybe work on coming to terms with the fact that it will probably be a long winter. You will be physically distant again, and a vaccine or treatment will not come overnight. And just like having that mind space will help inform the other things that you do to prep going forward. And then also acceptance in terms of, like, you know, still knowing that there is a highly infectious disease going around and coming to terms with the fact that doing things indoors is still a highly infectious activity. So you kind of have to operate based on facts. Next up is physical health. So I would definitely say schedule any in-person appointments with doctors sooner rather than later, because you don't know when restrictions might come to your doctor's office. Make plans to find a therapist before things get worse. If you're feeling like okay now, and you know they're the type of person who was like highly affected back in March when we couldn't see anybody at all, or you're the type of person who's highly affected by short days, like seasonal affective disorder, while you still have this good life juice left in you, reach out, make the appointments if therapy is something that you actually have access to. Because whether or not you have access to it, it's difficult to obtain. So, yeah, it's not a fun process.
Sam is talking to y'all, the listeners, but she's really talking to me. She doesn't know it, but I'm staring at her and I was like, are you attacking me right now? This is very solid advice. And this is the cycle that if you're like me, it's very easy to fall into where you're on the up and then you forget that you're very susceptible to being on the down until, so this, again, I felt her looking at me and I was like, you're right, bro.
I mean, it's for everybody. I'm talking to a previous version of myself also. So yeah. There's that. It is worth getting the flu shot this year. It's worth getting it every year, but this year especially if you're a person who is prone to paranoia, if you get the flu thinking, is this coronavirus? You know, and then also just like keeping a more clear path for people to potentially enter hospitals because less people are sick with less things. Don't hoard, please. Remember that time when everybody was like, I need toilet paper? Don't hoard, but do stock up on some cough medicine, some painkillers. Definitely cop a thermometer if you haven't gotten one. I remember when those were like sold out. So if you never got one, now's the time. Plan some ways to keep your body active, whether that be virtual dance, yoga, videos on YouTube, going out for a walk. Just plan for it. So if it is going out for a walk and you know you're going to be doing that into December, get some warm weather clothes, you know? Yeah. If it is yoga, maybe you want to find a studio sooner rather than later who is offering virtual classes so you can kind of get into the groove of things. Consider copping a light box and try not to sleep in late if you are prone to seasonal affective disorder. Those things can just optimize the amount of light that you're getting throughout the day. In terms of social life and all that good stuff, be creative. Start thinking of new and creative ways to connect with your friends or if you live at home with people, whoever you live at home with, and kind of wean back into those routines. You know, you don't want to be like, it's November 25th and it's the first day that broke freezing. You're just like, oh, shit, I wanted to go out. Nobody wants to go out with me. We can't meet outside. What do I do? You know, maybe like start getting back into the virtual happy hours or the Jackbox games. Those are so fun.
Yeah. Those are so fun.
Oh, man. We did it for the first time on whatchamacallit on Patreon like 2 weeks ago. God.
It's a great time.
Yeah, I think I'm addicted.
I want to try Among Us.
Me too. I have it on my phone.
I don't know what it's about. Oh, it's a phone game. Okay, I sound terrible. They're moving on to the phones now. That's exactly how it sounded. Yeah, I definitely want to try that, like for sure, because like it's a meme and everyone's on it. And I was like, this is a video. I felt so like, wait, I'm failing myself. This is a video game, and I have no idea what the fuck is going on. So
it's cool. It's a phone game about finding the imposter and you play with people online or your friends. Nice. But yeah, that's another way to connect. So just like, you know, every Thursday night we play Among Us. Every Thursday night we have our book club meeting. Every Thursday night we talk about the episode of Lovecraft Country or whatever. If you have a winter birthday or another occasion that you'd like to celebrate, find joy in building a new way to connect rather than remaining fixed in the fact that you can't celebrate how you normally would. So... I do a lot of random things, I think. So one of the random things that I'm doing is taking a disaster preparedness course right now because I just think that that's a smart thing to do. Yeah, I'm doing it on the internet.
Yeah.
So one of the things that this old white man said was just like, in terms of like, and you know, it is kind of a disaster. This is a long extended national disaster. Well, maybe not, because it's not like the complete depletion of resources, which is the technical definition of disaster, blah, blah, blah. But it's a bad time. It's a tough time.
Yeah.
He was like, find joy in what you can find joy in, because that will help your mindset during the disaster or during the tough time. So like, for example, if we think of a traditional disaster or whatever, let's say like, there's no houses, we're all outside or whatever, we're huddled up. But now for the first time, you can see all of the stars in the sky. And that's something that you've never been able to do before. Got it. And you genuinely enjoy it. So like, yeah, sure, maybe you can't have this big ass birthday party that you were planning, but one of my friends was telling me about like his plan for the birthday this year, his plan for his birthday this year is to like have all of his friends like record tracks for his like 30th birthday mixtape.
Nice.
That's just like a fun thing to do. And it's a new tradition and it's something that you can find fun that's not contradicting like the fact that you can't find fun in this other way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So be creative.
Finding a new silver lining.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Because there's still fun to be had. There's still joy to be had. There's still laughs to be made or whatever. Explore different options of making friends. So I have a language partner app where I was just like, oh, yeah, I want to learn Spanish. Is there anything that exists where I can learn Spanish and other people will like want to learn English. And there are apps where it's just like, you're just connected with random ass people from all over the world and they just talk to you in their language and you talk to them in your language and you learn from each other. There's just shit what? Out there. Yeah.
What? Like, you're, this is, yo.
There's just shit out
there.
This is
my self-care tip, y'all. You can't say that you don't learn, man. I didn't know that. I've been finding it difficult to, like, especially, like, not being in school, not being at work. You find it very limiting to find new people that you socialize mm-hmm. with. And I'm trying to peel back on, like, my traditional social media. So, like, Facebook and shit. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, what else is there? And I admittedly, I've been stuck in a cycle where I just don't look at those options. But hearing this and knowing that like
shit exists,
winter is coming, and like shit like this exists is definitely like a new motivator. Cause I'm like, shit, I want to learn fucking French.
There you go.
Yeah. So it's just like, that would be dope.
And there's French niggas sure. who want to learn English and you don't have to yeah. pay. Which is really nice.
That's the most important ticket there. Let's not minimize that.
Favorite part of that app. Also, like another thing that I do, I've mentioned on the show several times, but like the friendly visiting thing that I do with a mm-hmm. senior in my community that you could probably yes. find in your community, depending on what organizations exist around. Like that woman is like genuinely like my friend. Like she's not like, yo, like I'm not
gonna you.
It's not like that. It's not like I'm sending her like memes or whatever, but like every fucking Wednesday afternoon, I'm like, yo, I'm talking to her. And like we're mm-hmm. like actually like this is like social connection. Yeah, there's social connections yeah. that are to be made out there. You know, there are people beyond the people that you can meet in a bar or a club or any other outdoor activity that you're normally used to meeting people at. Invest in some winter gear for continued outdoor gatherings, though. So if you are the type of person who like needs FaceTime with people, and I mean actual face-to-face time, even though you should be 6 feet away or further, you should start investing in things that you need to be outdoors. So good clothes, a fire pit if you're the type of person who like throws backyard kind of things, if you're the type of person who even has a backyard in the first place, a good outdoor blanket. Oh, Rebecca just got a backyard.
If you called me last week, I'd have been like, who the fuck got a backyard? Now I'm like, oh shit, my little plot of land counts, you know? That's
yes,
it.
Plot of land. Can you put seed in earth back there? Like you could do whatever back there?
I can put niggas seed in earth.
Can it's, put it's, seed yo, in earth? Oh, I'm so excited son, for you.
I'm sitting here like the herb garden is yes. coming to life. Little flowers. Like it's a real good time.
We love it.
It's a good time.
We truly fucking love that. I'm very excited for you. Like legitimately. But yeah, if you're one of those kind of niggas, you can cop a fire pit. Also, wool is very good. Wool retains heat even when it gets wet, which is something that cotton doesn't do.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I always knew that, but the way that I said it just now was due to the disaster preparedness course that I'm taking.
You said it in a way that was like proper instructive, and I was like, holy shit, I didn't know.
Old
that.
Me so would just be like, yo, away. We'll be keeping you warm, man.
Whatever. Yeah. Now you're like, it retains heat.
A couple of other things. Let's talk about the feel goods. Cop your weighted blanket, son. If you are somebody who needs the cuddles and you know that you are not going to be getting the cuddles for the next couple of months, cop the weighted blanket.
I am a strong advocate for the weighted blanket.
Yes.
I have one. It helps me fall asleep. I'm such a strong cuddler. And my partner is not always a strong cuddler. this nigga will push me off of him. So I can't have a weighted blanket. And that's what fulfills the void.
That makes sense. Also, you know, Kua talked about sex budgets a couple of episodes ago. Use your sex budget. Try out some new sex toys. Man, I got a whole bunch of new fucking
yes.
sex toys.
Yes.
Just because. Just yeah. because.
Why
yeah.
not?
Yeah. You know, make yourself feel good in new and exciting ways. And if you need actual human contact and weighted blankets and new sex toys are not enough, start courting your bubble or your sex buddy. We talked about that many, many episodes ago at the height of the pandemic. But those are just people who you've agreed that, you know, you're not seeing anybody else. They're not seeing anybody else. You're getting tested regularly, not just for STIs, but also for coronavirus. Yep. You know, you're quarantining at the same time, things like that. So like now's the time to start feeling out who those people will be. As opposed to like December
24th.
Yeah.
When you're rushing.
Yeah. And everybody's like, nah.
Yeah.
We got it already. It's over. It's clip for that. Some miscellaneous things. Start considering what some of your indoor wintertime hobbies can be. You can check out my past self-care tip on hobbies that I'll put in the show notes to get your gears going on what type of hobby you might want. Definitely set some non-work related goals. Like, for example, I want to play this song on keyboard by December 31st or something like that, just to keep you motivated with your hobbies. If you're uncomfortable with in person, request your absentee ballot right the fuck now.
Immediately.
Right the fuck now. I'll put a link to the show notes that has like a list of dates and deadlines for that. And then also, you know, consider early voting, because that's also a thing. This list could go on forever. You know your needs best. You know them way better than I do. So think back to when the pandemic Lovato, as I like to call it, began, and how things sucked at that time, or how some things sucked at that time. And then let go of things completely. Let go of things that you completely cannot control. Don't stress over those, because you can't change them. But think about things that were more in your control. And now think about what you need to do between now and like first frost, when it really gets cold, to place yourself in the best possible situation to ride this all out. You know, just like reflect, like, what did I need then? How can I get myself to that need now before it's all bad?
Yeah.
Because it won't be all bad, because you can change some things about it.
Yay.
Yeah. Love you guys. Believe in you. All right. We're going into Bae of the Week, the segment where we shout out people who we find cool and attractive. Who's cool and attractive this week?
So for your viewing pleasure, Sam, I did put in that little
there link there. We're going to screen share.
So for Bae of the Week, I decided to highlight someone that I have had the pleasure to feast my eyes on several times throughout the pandemic. And just, you know, as I'm scrolling through my Instagram, it's just a sight to behold. This is Magic Dyke, okay?
Love it.
This is the king of beards and titties, who is 25.
Which are two of my personal
favorites. Yeah, right? Like, it's the best blend of what gets me going in the first place, you know? So they perform as a drag king around DC, and they describe themselves as a multidimensional human creating art that transcends gender binaries. They are magic.dyke on Instagram. They host a queer podcast called Life with Magic, where they put their professional life coach skills to work and inform their audience on sex, kink, and range of other subjects. I haven't listened yet, but it feels very in line with what we do here. So it's like, okay, this is a person that I can get jiggy with. They identify as non-binary and use their drag king persona as a way to represent that fluidity. They're also just insanely attractive. Oh, look at this. Sam has the twerking dancing video. They look like a different person in every single post, but that's not a bad thing. It's all
a good thing.
All of them are equally attractive. I find people like that from every point of the spectrum, like messaging me and going, who is this? Or just putting the heart eyes whenever I post them. So I'm like, they are just appealing to all parties involved.
All parties involved, exactly.
And they had a couple, I tried to find some like interviews and stuff, and they've been like, had pictures taken of them, or like their performance has been recorded, and they do have the podcast. But they did say that their drag king persona really came from the fact that they have larger breasts than most, well, not most people, but then a lot of people, and binding is already pretty hurtful, but it was also like hurtful. It's painful. So they tried, and it was just like, I can't endure the pain. So it's like, you know what? Fuck it. Why not? I want my titties to be shown anyway. So it was just very much embracing all aspects and like some people's stuff, and they didn't want to do that. They just were like, I'll have my titties, I'll have my beard. And they use like beauty supply hair, glue it on there.
Yeah,
glue it
I thought up. That was really
like,
creative.
I thought it was dope. I'm like, I remember seeing, I think it was the one with the crown, and I was just like, this person looks majestic as fuck. And then I kept going through it, and I was just like, yeah, they're killing it. Oh my god. Woof.
Oh man. All right. Anyway.
We're both like not
it's just on YouTube, y'all. It's just like, oh god, it's just, wow. It's
yes. I like.
I like that. I like
we're
that.
We're never usually like this, and here we are just like being Just being thirsty, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, being showing a little bit of thirst. Yeah, extremely attractive human being. Thank you for bringing that to our attention, Rodecca. Somebody who listens to this podcast who also follows me on Instagram one time sent me Magic Dykes page. I want to acknowledge that you are loved and acknowledged, and I know that you did that, but I do not remember.
Oh my god, that person sitting there like fist up like Sam,
I told y'all I put you on.
Rodecca, don't act like you found this person. I yeah. did it, and you did. Yeah. So we're acknowledging
you
that
did. You did. Thank you. Yes,
who you are.
But I do not remember the at name, and I'm so sorry. But love you so much, and also Magic Dyke, love you so much. Okay, let's fan off.
Whew. You know, I believe reading labels is key. I do it with everything from the food I buy to the beauty products I use. I'm obsessed with looking at things because you'd be surprised at the additives that companies trying to sneak into every product that you use. Why is there blue number 5 in my pickles? I don't understand.
These are green.
This is actually something that really gripes me out. I just don't know why these things are in there. So that's why I check everything, even my deodorant from Native. So my Native deodorant doesn't just block odor better, it's made better. Native has ingredients that you've heard of, like coconut oil, shea butter, tapioca starch. You've heard of those things. It's also vegan, and it's never tested on animals. So if you didn't know, aluminum forms a plug in your sweat glands that keeps you from sweating. That's why Native never uses ingredients like aluminum, parabens, sulfates, or talc. Switching to an aluminum-free deodorant doesn't mean you have to sacrifice on odor protection. That is very important to me because I do be stinking. Native will keep you smelling fresh and feeling fresh all day long. So with over 10 scents, including rotating seasonals, which are awesome, by the way, because you want things to be different. You don't want to smell the same
way. Mix it up.
It's fall. I want to change it up. What's exactly happening? Native has something for everyone. Their most popular classic scents are coconut and vanilla, lavender and rose, cucumber and mint, and citrus and herbal. My personal favorite is lavender and rose. That is something that I keep in the rotation constantly. I like the smell of lavender. I like to feel like I'm out here delicate, and I use it every day, and it lasts all day. Native is risk-free to try. Every product comes with free shipping within the U.S., plus a 30-day free return and exchange policy, which is awesome. And you can see why so many people love Native and check out their 14,000 five-star reviews. So you could do what I did and what all the hoes did, because I know we all be rocking with Native. There you go.
Smells good out here, baby.
And make the switch to Native today by going to nativedeo.com/IHU or use the promo code IHU at checkout and get 20% off your first order. 20%.
That's a lot. Native.
That's a lot of money. You just saved. And you get to smell good. So you go to nativedeo.com/IHU or use that promo at checkout, IHU, for 20% off your first order.
Mm-hmm. Smell good today, baby. Mm-hmm. I shine bright in all my different colors, all my different colors, colors. We shine bright in all our different colors, all our different colors. Brooklyn sitter, bad girl killer, known as the baddest, ass ain't the fattest, more than my assets, and I still cause a lot of havoc, but I be on peace and positive energy, still living in a world where folks trying to kill me. Here I be, black woman and queer, created all these rules that I couldn't adhere to, resilient, but don't ever fuck with my rights. The more I rise, the more they're trying to bring me down, 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 down. Get into the actual show with a segment that we like to call Fuck That. So that is our current events segment. And today we're talking about a couple of things, and we're starting it off with why older women are seeking love with young men in Gambia.
Woo. All right. So a documentary style show called Sex on the Beach is hosted by British broadcaster Sayi Rhodes. It premieres on Channel 4 BBC in the UK. And they traveled to look further into the, not necessarily new, they say new, but it's, when I did a little bit more research, I realized it's not new at all, tourism trend where older European women are traveling to West Africa, the West African country, Gambia, for love and sex with younger men.
Yeah, that's an old trend.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know about Gambia specifically, but Africa in general and these white women from America and Europe, boy, that's old.
And in turn, the Gambian men may often receive gifts of tens of thousands of dollars for their company. I thought it was for their actual, like, company, like their brand, but then I realized, because I have moments where I read things and I'm like, oh, for their company? Well, that's nice. And then I was like, oh, company.
For their LLC.
Yes. You know, LLC Twitter has invaded my brain, and they're just like, look at them coming up.
Oh, small owned Gambian owned business.
I was proud. I still am proud, to be honest with you, but we'll get into that later. So Gambia is apparently very known for sex tourism. Sex tourism generally takes on one of three forms. The traditional sex tourist seeks sexual contact with a person, just straight up traveling there to seek sexual contact. The situational sex tourist incidentally finds themselves having sexual encounters with local people, but do not travel there with the intention of having sexual intercourse. And then there's the romance tourist, who travels with the search of romantic experiences that they cannot experience in their home country. So sex tourism in the Gambia is primarily made of the third type of sex tourist, they say. I don't know. I'm kind of a little bit on one and three. But yeah, they do say that it's the women travel from their home country in search of romantic relationships they cannot find at home. It's typically divorcees, people who have feel like they've failed at finding traditional romantic relationships with other, seemingly other white men in their country. So they go down here and just like...
Or nationals. Like,
or nationals, yeah. Or they're just trying to like... find love, it doesn't happen, so they travel to the Gambia. So why Gambia? So the Gambia is a poor country with over a third of its population of 1.7 million people surviving below the United Nations poverty line of $1.25 a day. Sex tourism in the Gambia is mainly grounded on the cheap labor of the young Gambian men who have had few economic opportunities. For many men, their bodies are the main capital that they possess. Therefore, they will use their bodies, which is called tactical sex, we'll get into that later, for consumption by using older female tourists in exchange for money or gifts. So this differs from transactional sex, because the concept of transactional sex and tactical sex can kind of help you understand what's exactly going on in the Gambia. And I'm sure people kind of have this perception in their head anyway. There are some people who would describe themselves as sex workers in the Gambia, where they are...
like full-service sex workers?
Full-service sex workers. There's definitely those clear, defined individuals, and they subscribe to a clear and evident transactional relationship between the tourist and the host. So it's disclosed from the beginning, this is what we're doing, et cetera, et cetera. That would be considered transactional sex. But most Gambian men would describe themselves as using tactical sex, and it's kind of in the name. It means that they obtain economic exchanges with Western female tourists in order to obtain gifts, money, remittances, and perhaps a marriage and a visa to migrate to Europe. You've kind of heard this before. If you ever watched 90 Day Fiancé, we're all kind of thinking... Is this one of those
Michael
moments?
And Angela?
Exactly. Yeah. Oh my God. That's what's Lisa, screaming in my head.
Baby girl Lisa and Soulja Boy.
Yes, exactly. So you've seen these type of things before, and it's just very rampant in Gambia. So the nightlife scene, instead of it being kind of like under wraps, it's literally described as hundreds of older white women with black men. That's just what you see, and the black men are considered bumpsters. So the name comes from the Gambian state seeing the men, and they often refer to them as bumpsters, which is kind of like a bummy gangster or just like a bum in the street or whatever. That's what they call them, bumpsters.
Ouchies.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
And they see them as a nuisance because they are allegedly doing harassing nothing more than harassing the tourists. Like, the tourists want nothing to do with them, quote unquote, according to the state. And they act very aggressively towards bumpsters or Gambians involved in the sexual economy by arresting them and taking them into labor camps.
Labor camps?
Yeah. And apparently the military also cuts off locks of people there, which is like important to them. And they cut them off just like as a symbolism of kind of dehumanizing them, because they consider them less than. But on the contrary, rather than being nuisances, these men are actually actors and agents of the Gambia's tourist industry. People are coming here for this reason, and it's kind of known. So they're providing the services to the tourists who visit the country with a specific demand in mind, and ultimately contribute a whole bunch to the tourism industry and have a positive economic impact on tourism. Someone I was reading on Reddit where they were just like, well, it's not a surprise to me because it was under Today I Learned that the Gambia is like a prominent sex tourism location. And they're like, I was wondering why every time I looked at flights, there's like hundreds of flights in a week, but they're still so cheap. And it's because that it's increasing that demand because people are going.
Interesting.
The Gambian men who engage in the tourism sexual economies are seen combing the beach looking for engagement with potential tourists. A Reddit user... I was reading like a whole bunch of Reddit stuff because I was like, yo, is this something that everyone knows? And they do. They said, I visited this country last year. These bumsters, as they're called, hang out in large groups, 7 to 20, outside the resorts on the beach. They all do exercises together to try and attract the European women. And I'm just like, I can see it because if you've ever like visited and you've been on a resort, you walk out and like anywhere really, it's not necessarily like in the same fashion of attracting people for sex, but it's definitely like if you want drugs or something like that, they're all there. So
because there's definitely there's an economy that exists outside of the resort economy when exactly. It comes to the beach.
Yeah, because
and, yeah, vices are being sold. It's either drugs or sex.
Honestly. Exactly, and yeah. It serves its purpose. There's also people who serve as taxi drivers and often wait by the beachside looking for potential tourist clients in need of transportation, and then. You know, they do what they gotta do. And then both the men and women frequent many restaurants, bars, and nightclubs located in the Kololi Beach area, a site designated for tourism activities, looking to engage in a potential relationship with tourists. So back to the show. This was just like stuff that I was reading on my own. But back to the show, it focuses on a man named Alka. He's a local man who claims to have enjoyed many relationships with older European women who travel to Gambia. In his community, they call these women holiday makers. So there's the bumpsters and there's the holiday makers. Sometimes they are not good tourists. I don't know what that means, but that's what he said.
They're probably fucking racist, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true. They are holiday makers. Someone who comes to fuck you and leave you. It really, really hurts me. So he seems very hurt by this. But then...
Wait, but what does he want?
Exactly. And there was a point where Rhodes goes like, it hurts you, but does it stop you from taking their money? And then he goes, it really does hurt me. I don't like it. I'm looking for a good relationship. And he's insisting that he never asks for payment. They just give it to him and he just takes it. Maybe that's true. I take it too. I'm just trying to love you. But if you want to, you know, spread a little thickness, I'm good with that.
I'm just curious about what his end goal is. Like, does he want a relationship? And like,
so it seems like he found his relationship.
Alka.
Yes, Alka claims he has found true love with his wife to be, Francois, a Belgian woman in her 60s. She sent her lover the equivalent of $70,000 to build a home for the two of them in the Gambia. Which is interesting because, you know, that's like
it's the usually like the person coming away. Yeah. This is the 90 day the other way. Shout out to the spinoffs.
And they even got Francois on the show and they said he's a very nice human being. This is what Francois said. When asked how Alka makes her feel, she replied, it's like a second life, a newborn baby. But that brought me to think exactly. It got me to go, all the quotes from the older white women are infantilizing. Cringy, gross, infantilizing, fetishizing, very gross. It's so I have an article from The Sun if you want to click on it.
Okay.
There's a quote that says, there's so much candy in here, it's hard to control yourself even at my age. I had read something that was just like, oh, it's like a wonderland, you can have a different man every night. And it's just like, maybe you can, but it feels kind of like,
why are you like talking about these people as if they're not people,
exactly. As if they're commodities? As if you're picking things off a buffet.
Yeah.
And it's like the real Gambia experience. And you could see it. I mean, if you look at the photos, they're out here. And I don't know. I guess I've never like sex tourism is, and for it to be so blatant, it's very interesting that like in the Gambia, it's not hidden. It's just like, that's the nightlife. Like, that's what they're doing. So it's just normalized there. In an article for iNews, Rhodes described his experience talking to Gambian men and their European partners. So some people I met might look like they fit neatly into a box. This is what he says. Sex tourist, scammer, or victim. Because there is a lot of things where people are saying they were being scammed. It goes both ways, where somebody feels like they're being used. Other people feel like they're being genuinely having a love connection, only to find out they were essentially robbed. But once I'd taken the time to understand them, I can see that they were all works in progress. This is from Rhodes again. People don't always know if they're looking for love, sex, money, or power. In reality, they're all interlinked. And you can only see that by diving into people's lives and looking with no judgment. Which I thought was a great way to end.
That's valid.
What he had to say. So that was good. Yeah, it's just like, you're right. Like, when we looked at it, even though the lines were pretty creepy, when I was looking at a lot of things, I was just like, oh, this is obviously somebody who's being like, predatory and like trying to come here and do what they got to do because they just know it's readily available and they know these people need the money and they will probably do a lot just to like get by. But at the same time, on the flip side, maybe men are really looking for love, and you know, if there's an abundance of options and they're going over the, I see your face. It's just like, I'm trying. And me even reading it was just like, you know what? He's right. I don't know the full story. We don't know the full story, but we do know. We do know niggas, not niggas, literally not niggas. European women, older women are going down there and having a time. And
so I like Rhodes's quote there that, because it's indicative of all types of relationship dynamics, I think. You know, you can start like, oh, this is my fuck buddy. And then, oh, you know, I married you. And then, oh, blah, blah. Like, there's different. Every relationship is sort of like transactional, you know, like even if it's not just like, oh, I'm getting money. It's like, oh, I'm your friend because I enjoy spending time with you and you're funny and you teach me things, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, sure. All of that nuance. Yes, nuance. But exactly, the but was coming. There is a very strong, present power dynamic that exists there that is rooted in colonialism that we cannot just like erase or overlook or skirt over. Like, it is so fucking present that, it just kind of like is a, and I'm not saying all relationships are going to be like this, but it's definitely a roadmap for some sort of
because
I don't want to be I don't want to ever speak, because I, even if it's just like tactical sex, which I thought was a funny word, but even if it's just tactical sex or exactly,
yeah, that's tactical moves,
like what but if it's just whether it's tactical sex or like full service sex work, I'm just going to put this all in the realm of sex work. Mm-hmm. And I am not a sex worker. I've never been a sex worker, and I cannot speak for the experiences of sex workers. And in the same way that here, like, certain power dynamics can breed exploitation, I think that their power dynamics can also breed exploitation.
Absolutely.
And I think that with articles like what The Sun wrote, and I'm not even sure like how it was dealt with in the show, but I think there needs to be a large level of care that The Sun didn't take, but we don't expect The Sun to take fucking care. But there should be a large level of care in telling those stories, because this is a situation that can be ripe for exploitation.
Yes.
So like the white women being like, oh, you know, I'm in a fucking playground or whatever, is like, that seems exploitative. And you can report on it and say what the white woman said, but you also need to like, as a good reporter, and like unpack that, like, why is she saying that? Like, what does that mean behind that? I also think that like white women think that it's okay or good or fine to be like that, because it's like a very white feminist thing, like, oh, men over here treat me like commodities, so I can go over there and treat these men like commodities, even though they're completely...
I'm taking the power back. I'm
exactly
doing this.
But and you're completely like... eliminating the racial dynamics and the class dynamics and just like the global South versus fucking Europe dynamics.
Yeah.
Like, you literally like exploited our fucking countries. Like for centuries. Like the reason why the fucking the daily wage is $1.25 is because of your fucking ancestors, bitch. Like, I shouldn't have to fuck you. Just give me remittances. What the
That's
fuck?
That's a fact. That's a fact. Yeah. I'm glad you said that, too. Because it was very much like lateral reading, guys. All of the things, even in the Sex on the Beach post in New York Post, where they're talking about the show, they didn't say anything about the poverty level. They didn't say anything about, like, tactical sex. All of that stuff was from some other sources where I'm, like, be able to see. Because my question is just, like, why? You know, other than, you know, the weird fetishy and, like, oh, you're black, so I wouldn't, like, fuck you. Like, we all know that. But it felt like there was more to it. And even in the New York Post article, they're not talking about the disparagement, that the disparaging details that caused them to get to this point. I wouldn't have to use tactical sex if my country was left alone in the fucking first place, and I can make a living on my own and do whatever I want to do. So it's like you take from me and then you come back and you're like, oh, well, you need me, right? So fuck me. Exactly. And that's exactly what it is. Yeah. And you're absolutely right.
Exactly. Yeah. So what you're just, oh man, when the episode comes together, but what the story that you just reported on is very similar in regards to power dynamics to the story that I'm going to talk about a little bit later, though a little less consenty. And by little less, I mean a lot less. But before we get into that, is this conversation in this episode so far resonating with you? Is it helping you learn some new shit, helping you unlearn some old shit, or just allowing you to have a good ass time? You say it is. Wow. Well, we love to hear it. We would also love for you to support the continuation of conversations like these. If you're listening to us on a podcast app, you can pull out your phone right now. Or your computer, I guess. Take a moment to subscribe to us. So open that podcast app. Search Inner Whole Uprising right there. Press the purple subscribe button. Scroll down. Click those 5 stars all the way to the right. Scroll down a little more. Click the little leave a rating. Type up your rating. I love them. Oh, so funny. Wow. I didn't think about tactical sex. Wow. Oh my gosh.
10 out of 10. Boom, boom.
Exactly. You hit send. And then you've done us a solid, and we really appreciate you. Thank you so much. Also, if you have a little extra change, you can drop some cash in the PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho. Or you can come join our Patreon community and access our chat and virtual events for as low as $2 a month by going to patreon.com/innerhouseuprising. Horror film screenings. Yay, so fun. Or just hit up your friend and say, yo, listen to Inner Ho Uprising. It is a really good show. We thank and love you all for your continued support.
So it's safe to say that if you're hearing our voices right now, our banter, our information, all the things we're saying, you listen to podcasts because, well, this is a podcast. Well, The Salon with Lala Milan is a new podcast that we think you'll love. You might already know Lala from her viral videos on Instagram and TikTok or her infamous parodies on YouTube. And if you don't, you're missing out. I mean, you're on YouTube right now. After this, check that out, you know? And not only is she a hilarious actress and comedian, she's an expert on giving beauty tutorials and fashion tips. And her squad are known for their unfiltered conversations and savage pop culture gossip. Her podcast, The Salon, is all of that and more. Lala and her guests will talk about sex, relationships, situationships, and they also cover the latest trends in beauty, juicy celeb gossip, and everything in between. Listening to Lala gives us all the laughter and advice we need right now, and nothing is off limits in The Salon. Check out The Salon with Lala Milan right now in Stitcher, Apple, or your favorite podcast app, and make sure to subscribe.
That's facts, though.
Check them out.
Okay. I'm going to give a content warning for sexual assault. If this is not something that you are in the cards to hear about right now, you can check the time code in the show notes to skip this segment completely. All right. So this story is the fact that more than 50 women in the Democratic Republic of Congo, hereby going to call that the DRC, allege abuse by Ebola aid workers. So this alleged abuse occurred during the 2018 to 2020 Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo. 51 women have come forward and stated that numerous men had either propositioned them, forced them to have sex in exchange for a job, or terminated contracts when they refused. Men specifically worked for or have claimed to work for the World Health Organization, henceforth referred to as WHO by me, and other leading NGOs providing Ebola aid. So these stories were corroborated by aid agency drivers and local NGO workers. Also, many of the women have similar similar stories. So it's not like they were just like, yo, let's lie on some WHO workers. Like, yeah. This is some real shit right here. A little bit about the women. Also, this is all, I got this all from an article in The Guardian, and that article was written by The Guardian staff and agencies in Benin. So a little bit about these women. They were often cooks, cleaners, and community outreach workers hired on short-term contracts, earning from $50 to $100 USD a month, more than twice the normal wage. So there was like some draw there to these kinds of positions. Many of the women were scared to come forward out of fear of losing their jobs and also just general shame around what happened. One woman was actually an Ebola survivor seeking psychological help. Two women became pregnant from these interactions or instances of sexual assault, I should say. And some of the ways that this happened, they were plied with drinks. Others said they were ambushed in offices and hospitals, and some said they were locked in rooms by men who promised jobs or threatened to fire them if they did not comply. In response to this, the World Health Organization said that they were investigating these allegations and released a statement and basically said they condemn these behaviors, say that they're looking into it, and say that they have a zero tolerance policy for sexual exploitation and abuse. However, this is not an isolated incident. So just like sexual exploitation in spaces that are receiving humanitarian aid is just a phenomenon. And that phenomenon had come to widespread global attention in 2002. So in 2002, a joint commission composed of the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees and the Save the Children Fund, United Kingdom, reported that refugee children in Guinea, Liberia, Sierra Leone have been subjected to sexual abuse and exploitation, reportedly by employees of national and international NGOs, the UN Human High Commission for Refugees, and other UN bodies. I want to take a moment to note that this is also West Africa. So, like, the tie between what you were just talking about and what I'm talking about now and the power dynamics that lay is not a coincidence, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
As a result of that report in 2002, these agencies put into place measures to ensure that these abuses wouldn't occur anymore. Then in 2008, another report by Save the Children UK found that sexual exploitation and abuse of beneficiaries not only continued, but was underreported. So the solves did not actually solve anything. So then there's this whole big thing when it comes to these motherfuckers, the UN peacekeepers. So personal side note, I was in Haiti in 2015. I think it was early 2015. And, you know, because of the earthquake and just like the fact that Haiti is very, very impoverished. Shout out to fucking France for ruining the greatest fucking civilization of black people, free black people. And just like global bullshit. Like Haiti's impoverished for a lot of fucking reasons that are related to colonialism and capitalism and white supremacy. But so like UN, I don't know if they're still there now, but UN peacekeepers were like just like all over the place. And anytime they would walk around, everybody I was with would just be like, yo, fuck these. Like these guys are fucking creeps. Stay away from them. They are so weird. Not saying all UN peacekeepers are like that, but the fact that every time we saw them, that would come up. I was just like, ding, 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 ding. Like red flags are going off.
Literally. Wow.
Yeah. So an Associated Press investigation in 2017 revealed that more than 100 United Nations peacekeepers ran a child sex ring in Haiti over a 10-year period, and none were ever jailed. The report further found that over the previous 12 years, there had been almost 2,000 allegations of sexual abuse and exploitation by peacekeepers and other UN personnel around the world. Some other places that this has occurred in was Sudan and the Central African Republic. This is not like quite NGOs in terms of aid. And then also, is it aid if nobody really asks for it? But there's a big issue with this also when it comes to missionary groups going over to places like Africa and the Caribbean and South America and things like that. This list is simply scratching the surface. And I think that this conversation deserves a dedicated episode. And that's been on my list for a minute now. But those are just some instances of how people exploit humanitarian aid in when it comes to sexual abuse. So a little bit about why does this happen? kind of like the power dynamics explained before, but like racism is a thing that exists. Sexism is a thing that exists. Classism is a thing that exists. Xenophobia is a thing that exists. And power dynamics between these people coming in as aid workers, quote unquote, and people who, quote unquote, need aid. It's just there. So if you have an instance where people who don't see you as people are coming in and you have something that they need and you're a piece of shit, you can exploit that dynamic right there.
Yeah.
That 2008 study that I mentioned earlier talks about why there might be a lack of complaints when it comes to people coming forward. And some things that that sets forth is children and adults are inadequately supported to speak out about abuse against them. The international community does not exercise strong enough leadership or managerial courage on this issue. And the fact that there's a lack of investment in child protection by governments and donors. And I would just say overall people protection by governments and donors. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't quite make sense that these, I don't know what those looked like, those things that were implemented into that or after that, that report was released in 2002. But I don't get how things didn't get better. I truly don't.
If that's
don't.
What you said that you were going to do and you're making it easier to report or to like make it more streamlined, how is it that people are reporting less?
Yeah, like, I don't what's know. What's going on? I don't know what happened, but I think that is worthy of a lot of answers.
Yeah.
I just think that savior dynamics are not the wave. It's just not the way to go. I think that in theory, we should be helping people, not we, because I'm not a fucking UN peacekeeper and I do not associate with any of this bullshit. But I guess from like wealthy countries, folks should be helping people to help themselves. Like my ideal situation for the Ebola aid response would be, at least for those women, like they should have just been given the tools to lead the whole shit.
Yep.
Not just to help the niggas who came over to help.
Yeah.
Or not to answer to the niggas who came over to help.
Absolutely.
Especially when there's like also the gender dynamic there. Like whoever is in charge of hiring people should have been from that country. And and preferably, honestly, if this is like such a rife issue, I know that sexual assault happens within gender too, but it seems like this was a very like men are sexually assaulting women thing.
Maybe women in charge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then also, I don't know who is running the departments where someone can report to, but that should also probably be someone from the country. That should probably be someone who can speak the same language that the person is speaking who might be reporting. And then also that person just needs to have a check. Like there just needs to be many people having checks on them. And it needs to be like outside people. Like, you know, like when it's like, oh, the police are going to do an investigation. It's just the police doing an investigation on the police.
Yeah.
Like, you need like third party people doing investigations to actually ensure that these investigations are actually happening thoroughly. And then there's just like the deeper question of why is aid needed, which is similar to the deeper question of, okay, why do we need to engage in tactical sex? Why do we have a dollar? Why are we making $1.25 a day? Why can some places, quote unquote, handle disaster and some can't? Because colonialism ravaged the world and left many countries, particularly in the global south, without stable economies and infrastructure to deal with disaster, which is exactly what the fuck happened in Haiti. So this power dynamic already exists between wealthy countries and impoverished countries and exploitation. So when disaster happens, that dynamic just presents itself at that individual scale.
Yeah.
So it's just still like take. God, I hate this world. So which led to my next question was just like, how do we prevent things like this? I majored in documentary and television studies. I don't know what the fuck I'm really talking about. So I don't know how to actually fix all of the damage colonialism has done in terms of wealth distribution on a countrywide scale. Like, I don't know how to make Gambia an actual, like, country that is self-sustained, you know?
Yeah.
But I think in the meantime, we can spend way more money on developing processes that do prevent this. Like what I said earlier, have it be several people's job to check in to see if abuse is occurring and take next steps. And then also just like as a global community if you actually care about shit like that, because not everybody gives a fuck about being in a global community, but like, you kind of have to start thinking long and big. And
as opposed to purely reactive and purely like, okay, in the moment, what can we do to band-aid something?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's not ever going to be solved by a fucking band-aid. Yeah. Long, big, and creative. So like, we know that it is going to be solved by the dismantling of white supremacy in some way, the dismantling of capitalism in some way, the dismantling of these vestiges of colonialism in some way. But what the fuck do those really look like? And how do we actually get there? And, you know, people who like are well versed in international policy and foreign policy, I'm sure you're like, yeah, that's what the fuck I'm working on right now. So like, I'm definitely not talking to you because you know way more of what you're talking about than I do right now. But like, let's say like there's like a 19-year-old who's listening to this and is like, oh, what the fuck do I want to study in college or whatever? Or how can I make a change in the world? Like, that's what I mean by like thinking creatively and long term. So yeah, get a job is what I'm saying. Get your ass off the fucking couch, get off TikTok, and solve what's happening in the Gambia. Well as DRC.
TikTok be woke. TikTok is great.
TikTok is a great time. This also made me think about the future of epidemics, chaos, and who will get hit the hardest. So I mentioned earlier in the episode, I'm doing that fucking disaster preparedness course or whatever. And this white man, being a white man, is just like, it was just like a safety element of the course or whatever. And he's like, disasters are typically free of bad guys. You know, some bad guys might come out, but it's not going to be like, you know, like when you watch shows and like it's all war. Like, it's not going to be fucking Negan walking around with a barbed wire bat, like trying to like kill everybody up in here. And to some extent, I agree. Like, it's not just going to be utter chaos when disaster happens. But like, people who are marginalized always feel things harder. Like,
absolutely,
always are hit hardest. So yeah, fucking coronavirus sucks. That's a pandemic. Ebola was an epidemic. Coronavirus sucks, and it's hitting you in different ways. And folks here, like, we lost jobs and we are waiting for coronavirus stimulus packages and things like that. But Ebola, it was like, I need to fucking actually take this job, and I need to comply with this creep's fucking non-consensual wishes in order to get this job.
Yeah.
Like, there's just like a chain of things that happen and a chain of how you are affected. And like, bad guys don't always look like Negan. Bad guys can look like a guy from WHO who's like, yeah, fuck me so you can get this fucking job.
Yeah.
So something to think about, because I think more disasters and more chaos are to come, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Like, with that acceptance thing, I just, what have we done as a global community to prevent future pandemics?
I keep reading disasters are typically free of bad guys, but like, for something in my head wants to like remark that a lot of the time disasters is what brings out some of the badness in people. Like, it's that now the shift of power even more, where an ordinary person may not do certain things, but now because they have something that someone else needs, they might become a bad guy, or just like the things that are in them come out because power fucks people up. And like, I don't know, free of bad guys. It's really of who, because it's just like, who do you think is a bad guy here? What do you consider a bad guy? Because there's a lot of things where most times you read about things, you're just like, wait, someone was taking advantage of power. Right. These people, like,
I think he had the who wrong and the how wrong.
Yeah.
Because he was like, are you going to be prepared with a knife when someone comes to your door? Like, that's actually how he talks. And like, that's not necessarily what I would need to be scared of, you know? Like, maybe a bad guy would be like, oh, I'm knocking on someone else's door because my house, fucking something happened with my residence or whatever, and I need to ask other people for help, and that person is exploiting me.
Exactly. Exactly.
So but I think he was just talking about like, boom boom bam, who are we gonna fight today?
There is that like immediate, like this moment where you're just like, oh, flight or flight, or like these immediate death, like scary moments, these deadly moments. But it's also like the wolf in sheep's clothing, like someone taking advantage of you because I have these rations that you don't. Like, that's when the circumstances become more desperate and it allots people a lot more ways to be the bad guy.
Right. How about like fucking all those places that started price gouging are the bad guys. Price gouging things about, like hand like, sanitizer and yeah, fucking masks and shit places, like that.
All those places, you mean like here, everywhere. Like all of a sudden it was just like, what the fuck? Like I'm on Amazon and I can't get hand sanitizer. It's $30. That's when it's like, wait a minute.
That's
what?
Bad guys.
That's bad guys.
That's bad guys.
In ways that you would never even think about. All the motherfuckers who ran out and grabbed toilet paper when you didn't need it. You're suddenly a bad guy. And you've never... Why? You know? I don't know. It's very strange. People are weird.
Niggas weird at the end.
Yeah, niggas do be weird, man. So if you're a weird nigga... No, I'm just kidding.
Cut the podcast off. That's you're not it. Welcome. You're not invited.
Get out of here.
All right. Now we're going to get into a segment that we call Fuck Me, which is about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives. And somebody done shacked up over here.
Oh, man. I did the unthinkable, y'all. I don't know what the fuck.
Okay, Alicia Keys.
I'm ready. That's that song, right? Well, but yeah, so I did a little thing. I think I've dropped little pellets of saying that, like, I'm moving or, you know. New chapter, et cetera, et cetera.
Backyardigans over here.
Backyardigans. You heard me about my little garden. Where is that, you know? I have moved in with my partner. You know? And it's a really interesting and different time for me because COVID has changed everything. Like, 2020 was just, like, the most transformative year. But, like, nothing has happened more than in the month of October for me because I moved in with my partner, Chris. My sister, who I've lived with my entire life, who is like a mom to me, basically, has now moved to Atlanta, so she's gone. I have another sister who's now moving to Florida in a couple of weeks. I have another sister who's moving away. So my whole family's, like, moving away.
Yeah.
And really, it's almost like a start of a new family, like, in terms of just, like, us, yeah, in terms of us, like, being together, is me and Chris. So it's been kind of tough though, just because
moves are hard.
Moves are hard, and it's been really mentally kind of taxing for me. And I think I did what I told myself I would do less of, but I'm human, so it happened. I just kind of held it all in, and I've been holding it all in, and I've just kind of been like, this is fine. Even though, like, literally when you list those things down, people who are close to their families, I'm like, I won't say, like, I'm the closest, but definitely this is all I know. And, like, we were getting closer. We've gotten the closest we've ever been in our lives during COVID because, like, we were just in the house together and we decided to mend a lot of relationships. And I was seeing my family pretty consistently. So that just kind of ended all abruptly. And I pride myself on being very communicative, but it's almost like there's no words for something that you don't know is going to affect you or you don't know how it's going to happen. So I'm just like, this is fine. This is all fine. We're just doing this. And it just kind of like caused a breakdown. I say breakdown not in a way that's just like shit was just like hitting the fan, but it was definitely like I felt more distant than I did when we were seeing each other like on our own terms because it was just like I'm in my own world. He's in the adult world. Moving is crazy. And then I've never been an adult before. I've been an adult, but it's really like, you know, I'm doing this on my own and everything is my own decisions. And this like autonomy, but also bouncing off of another person is a lot. It's been pretty intense. But I will say when I originally pitched this, I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm gonna do. But she's fine. She's actually really fine. His birthday just passed. And
aw, happy birthday, were saying, Chris.
Yeah, he's a little old guy now. No, actually, he's younger than me. I'm a little cougar, guys. Coug. But no, even though it's been a week, but we've been like seeing each other, especially with being inside, you kind of lose that like spontaneity and that moment where it's just like, oh, I haven't seen this person. There's that anticipation. There's that like da 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 da. But like, you know, they're just going to be there. And that was starting to happen just because that's where I was for a large majority of the time when we were had to stay at home order because he got sick. So I stayed with him. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't putting makeup on anymore. I wasn't, like, doing any of those things. So for his birthday, I was like, okay, let me, like, plan a little date night. So I did it indoors, and, like, I put a projector up so there was, like, stars up. Aww. And I was, like, the dinner under the stars, and I did my makeup. So I guess it's, like, I think moving forward, I don't know if this is, like, something that you guys want to listen to because it's a journey for me. But just, like, tips on moving in or living with somebody and kind of, like, being under the same house, because it changes a lot of things, and I've already noticed it from jump. And I'm excited for the journey because, you know, I'm building a family, and I feel like it's interesting because I've said that to him. So it's very interesting to, like, choose somebody as your family without it being like, okay, we have a child together, so now we're a bond family. It's just like, okay, we live together, and this was my choice, and it's just like, okay, like, we're family now, and, like, building that and figuring out how that is and feeling, like, very, very adulty, almost like I'm married and stuff. It's all very weird, but I'm very excited for it, and, you know, I'm interested. Well, I'm not interested. I'm excited for you guys to kind of follow that journey with me, and I'll be pretty transparent about it because this is my little venting session in terms of just like, what the fuck is going on? Not anything bad. Just
this
very
nigga
much
don't
just
close,
like,
the cupboard. The fuck?
What the fuck's up with that? I also live with. It's not just. I live in New York, y'all. So I just didn't get to know. As exciting as it is, I also live with my best friend. So it's three people in one house.
It's like a sitcom over there. Is this Will and Grace?
It's exactly what it is. Yes. But yeah, I definitely wanted to share that because I know a lot of people, like, I don't know, a lot of people, I know it not exasperated, but definitely accelerated the relationship process for a lot of people. I don't know if we had stayed at home for so long together, if we would have been making this move, to be quite frank, because we kind of looked at each other and was like, oh, maybe we can live together. Mm. And it came from my sister was moving. So it's just like, what do I do? And I definitely could have gotten a room, but we just kind of just went, okay, let's just try this out. So it was definitely a choice, but an interesting one. And, you know, stay tuned, y'all, because the life and times of, I don't know, whatever. Just stay tuned, y'all.
Cohabitating Rodeca.
Yeah, cohabitating Rodeca. That's what it is. It's interesting.
Yay. Well, I'm excited. Either way. I just want to have fun in your backyard. I'm just very excited, you know, that you have a backyard.
You're just like,
I just want
a
gardening buddy.
What's that about?
Yeah, I just want a fucking gardening buddy.
Yo, man. I'm excited to get into it. It's very, I kind of find myself, I've always wanted a garden. I've always wanted to start doing certain things. And I get intimidated before it happens, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to fucking do it, man. I'm going to do it. Because why not? It's right there, you know? There's no reason not to. So I'm going to do it, you know? And we're going to, maybe I'll start talking about that too. Some gardening tips. Life is different now, man. Who knows?
Fun. We love good, positive change in the life and times. All right. Yeah. Cool. Well, we're excited to take that journey along with you. And I speak on behalf of myself and the listeners. And the other two co-hosts. We all excited up in here.
We all care. We love each other.
That we do. Even though we act like we don't, you motherfucker. Okay. All right. Well, we have no listener letters this week, but if you would like to send us some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, you can send your thoughts to igpodcast@gmail.com. Please include your pronouns. Also, because we are in the future, you can leave us a voicemail. We'll play it and respond to it on the show. So you can drop us a line at 404-491-9158. That voicemail number and email address will be in the show notes. If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively move you in any sense of the word, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts that allows you to leave ratings and reviews. And let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate every single last one of you.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inaho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our Facebook group by searching Inaho Uprising, CUMMUNITY. Head to InahoUprising.com to sign up for weekly goodies via our newsletter, Payaho, or check out our merchandise. If you would like to follow me personally, my name is Rodeca, sometimes Rebecca. You could do that at The Darkest Timeline on Instagram and Exist in Crisis on Twitter.
Just the fact that no one knows which one is real, and I just, I'm so proud of the chaos. I'm so proud of the chaos that I introduced to this world.
It's true.
You can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter, and Carmen San Diego for travel and food photos. Have a lovely week. You deserve to.
I was gonna say goodnight. Bye.